What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
This podcast is in collaboration with Optometry Times.
Welcome to the Defocus Media Podcast, and on this podcast edition, we are talking about dry eye, ocular aesthetics, and entrepreneurship on top of how to become an optometrist and a mom at the same time, which is a topic I'm always very interested in since I just began as a mother myself. And joining us tonight, in addition to our guest who we're about to introduce in a second, is Dr. Daryl Glover. So I want to say hi to Daryl.
Hey, Jen. How are you? How's motherhood treating you?
I love it so much. I'm actually bouncing my baby with my foot right now while we're recording. So if at any point during the podcast you hear like baby noises, it's not like something you need to adjust on your audio. It really is a baby.
That's what I call pure talent there, Jen.
This is multitasking at a high level.
Absolutely.
And someone who is really an expert probably at the multitasking based on all that she's got going on in her life, please welcome to the show our guest, Dr. Claudine Corey.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for having me today.
Dr. Corey, I know we're going to really delve into all the amazing things that you're doing, but let's start from the beginning. Tell us about yourself, where you went to optometry school, and where you practice.
Yeah, sure, of course. So I graduated from the University of Montreal School of Optometry. And then during clinic, I was always really interested in contact lenses, and I had the most fun when I was in those clinics. So I went on to do my residency in cornea and contact lens. So following that, I did my master's degree also in scleral lenses to answer a bunch of questions that I kept asking over and over in my residency years. And during those years, I did my fellowships of my Scleral Lens Association and also of the American Academy of Optometry. And after that, now I'm working in a OD-MD group practice where I'm really fortunate to run a dry eye clinic with my other OD colleague. So it's really fun. We do dry eye, I fit sclerals, and I have a really, really great time there. And I also work in private practice doing general optometry as well. That's kind of where I'm at. And then about, I would say, 10 months ago now, I started our e-commerce business, which is called Eyedrop Shop. So a couple of things going on, but it's been really, really fun.
Now, I think you forgot about one real cool thing. You're double board certified. Can you explain to the world what that means and how you achieve that? I mean, that's pretty spectacular.
Oh, thanks. So basically, I became board certified in Canada so that I'll be able to practice. I could practice all across Canada. And I also chose to, do my NBEO, which I know a lot of people are starting to study for now. So good luck to everybody who's studying for that. It's worth it. And you guys will all do great. So I studied for my American boards and passed those as well. So I'm able to practice in the United States as well as Canada, which is really fun.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, earlier when we were talking prior to starting the show, you were telling me you're kind of a staple in the town that you grew up in and live in. Are there any chances we might be able to see you down here in the States, or are you going to be there for the rest of your life?
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, I come off and I come to the Academy, and I love coming to the States. I really love it. But yeah, I mean, they consider me part of the furniture, I think, at this point at University of Montreal, since I studied there and then did my residency and further studies. So that's kind of the running joke. But I love coming to the States, mostly for vacation, so it's even better.
Well, we know the weather is better, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That is 100% sure.
You know, I'm so inspired by you because what you explained about your career up to this point, I mean, you've done every major thing that I wish I could have accomplished, but I haven't.
Oh, my God, no.
But, I'm a huge cornea and contact lens nerd myself. And knowing that you were a big proponent of contact lenses, that's what you wanted to do your residency in. You're doing a lot of sclerals. I'm interested to hear from you with that background, how you developed a passion for dry eye and ocular aesthetic.
Yeah, for sure. So basically I was fitting, your typical cones and pellucids and all kinds of corneal pathologies. And then I also was getting referrals for fitting scleral lenses for my dry eye patients. And I started doing that. And that's how dry eye patients sort of came into my scope of practice. And when I began treating them and seeing how dry eye impacted their daily life and quality of life, and how as optometrists, we really have the ability to help these people and make their quality of life so much better, it kind of just hooked me from that moment. And it's been since then that I really, you know, have dived into this and taken it to heart. And it's become a little, you know, niche of mine, because I've had a bunch of patients that I'm really fortunate have gotten better from treatments that we've prescribed. So I've seen the other side, and helping people and making them feel better, and, you know, making a grandma be able to read a little bit longer her book or see her grandchildren play. It's really what makes me so happy, and the reason why I do what I do.
I'm a big mm-hmm. believer in everything you said. I feel like what draws practitioners to contact lenses is because you want to use the tools that you have to enhance what people are able to achieve visually. And you can't do contact lenses without talking about the corneal surface and getting it right. So you have to practice dry eye care to get there. And then vice versa, you know, when the contact lens, of course, disrupts the ocular surface. So you need to negate any damage that you might be doing or harm that you might be doing there by treating it extra nice. So I think I found that most contact lens advocates like you and me have found that they naturally had to become dry eye specialists as well.
I completely agree. I find, like you just said, it's one goes hand in hand with the other, and sort of you become, you know, in between both. You know, you want to help the dry eye and you want to help them see better, and you end up kind of having to combine both, which makes it, you know, so challenging, but so much fun as well. So I definitely agree 100% with what you said.
So let's talk a little bit more about the scope of optometry in Canada, because here in the States, you know, depending on the state you practice in, there are certain things that you can do. And with you doing so much with dry eyes, I mean, what type of drugs are you allowed to prescribe? Are you allowed to prescribe drugs? What type of instruments are you using for dry eye treatment? I mean, let's dive into that a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. So now I'm in the province of Quebec. So each province will have their different regulatory bodies. In Quebec, we were fortunate that recently we just got some more privileges that we're allowed to do, such as prescribing glaucoma meds, you know, and treating all kinds of things that we weren't able to treat before. But as far as dry eye treatment, you know, we're allowed to treat with anti-inflammatories, antibiotics, your typical drops that are allowed in the States as well. As far as equipment, we do everything. So because we're a referral center and it's within an OD-MD combined practice, we're fortunate that we have a lot of equipment to use. So, you know, we'll scan the meibomian glands, we'll do the osmolarity, tear meniscus height, we'll stain with all kinds of stains and ocular colorants. So really, we basically take the DEWS 2 definition and do everything in that definition and analyze it one thing at a time to make sure that every patient gets a comprehensive assessment of their dry eye. And that's the most important, because once we find the root of that dry eye, we're able to actually create a customized treatment plan that will target the problem. And that's what will make the patient feel better, because we're not just throwing darts, you know, at a wall. We're really aiming at something specific. And then once you go after that and you treat it and you get the wonderful reaction, that's where the happiness is, as a patient and as a practitioner, I would say.
Definitely happy patients, happy doctor. It goes that direction for sure. You mentioned when you were explaining your background that you had recently started an e-commerce site, the Eyedrop Shop. So I mean, this is really, really interesting to me. Where did that idea derive from?
Yeah. So basically, when I was in practice, I would prescribe those treatment plans like I was mentioning before. And they're very specific. I really like certain products because I'll pick things that I know that'll really target their problems. So I'd write out the prescription, and then I'd find that my patients would go out and have a really hard time finding their eye care treatments. And so they would come back using other things that were honestly making it worse. Like they would pick up something to take their red eye away, but it was only a Band-Aid, right? So at the end of the day, I was saying, okay, I mean, something needs to be done about this, because people need to have access to their eye care, and it shouldn't be that hard. So I guess I just really decided something needs to be done, and I'm going to do it. So I started by choosing the products that I love, and then I put them online. And I guess the rest is history. That's kind of how it started. And then, you know, initially it was my patients and word of mouth. And once I noticed that it was really helping people and I was getting feedback and people in rural areas were actually getting the treatments they needed, or, you know, a grandmother, their grandson would come online and place the order, and then the products would be shipped to her house, or, you know, even people at work would get it delivered to their office so they didn't have to make an extra trip home. That's when I knew that, you know, we really had something that was helping people here. And so I'm really proud of that part, to be able to offer the high quality eye care and make it just super accessible.
Daryl, this resonates because you also started an e-commerce website. And this is something that blows my mind that's possible as optometrists. You guys, like, we didn't go to school to be computer engineers. I don't understand how you guys took on this challenge and had decided, like, I can do this. So, I mean, let's get your both of your perspectives. Like, if someone's interested in creating an online e-commerce website, I mean, are there any hurdles or things they need to know before they dive in?
There are definitely a lot of hurdles. I mean, for myself, what I started doing was before I invested into inventory, I studied the different e-commerce platforms, and I just, you know, played around with the various ones to see what worked the best for me, what fit with the product that I had and what fit with the type of marketing that I wanted to do. And what I found was the best platform for me was actually Shopify. I just liked the way that it gave the analytics. I liked the way that you could market on it. I love the email capabilities that it had. It just made sense. But prior to that, you know, I had to figure out my inventory, and I didn't want to invest in so much in eyewear, because, you know, frames can be expensive, especially independent eyewear designers that I was working with. So what I did was I just started a little cheap online eyewear store where glasses were like, you know, a couple dollars here or there, just to see how to actually go about shipping and handling problems that may take place. And I did that for about 6 months. And as soon as I mastered that, that's when I went in and made the investment for my actual inventory. And ever since then, I've just been rocking and rolling and moving from there.
That's amazing. That's a great story. And I would have to really agree. I think logistically, the thing is that it really is a lot of hard work, and it's a lot of hard work behind the scenes. And it definitely is things that, you know, you just don't learn in optometry school. You know, it's SEO, e-commerce, marketing, shipping, receiving, inventory. I think basically, you have to be willing to work hard, be willing to do it all every step of the way, and really embrace the hustle of it, because there's things that show up that you didn't expect, and then there's good and bad and ups and downs, but it's really like anything, right? So if you're passionate about what you're doing and you really feel like you got a good idea, then I guess that's what Daryl and I did. We just kind of ran with it and decided we're going to do this. And once you commit to it, I mean, it's a lot of Googling and online webinars and searching and teaching yourself. But I think as optometry students, we're like professional students, right? We studied hard and we learned a lot. So you take the same principles and just apply it to a new facet of your life, and you go, you just keep running.
Yeah, I agree, Claudine. I mean, when I started the online platform, I became a photographer. I had to take all my pictures.
Exactly.
I became a website developer because I had to develop my own website. I became very familiar with the folks over at USPS or FedEx, depending on how I was shipping everything. And I just, you know, I became great at everything because, you know, you don't have the money, or at least I didn't have the money to invest in hiring someone to do this. So I had to figure it out on my own. And I like learning it on my own. That way, when I'm to the point where I can delegate it to someone else, I know how everything runs, and I know someone's not going to hit me in the head with charging me an extra fee that I don't really need.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's the benefit. So that when you scale and when you, you know, move to your bigger office and, you know, outgrow the current space, then we were able to, you know, delegate properly and say, okay, I know exactly how this is done. I've been through A, B, C, D, and E. I've packed the boxes. I've shipped them. You know, we've done it all. So that way you're really, you're just the master of your own little process, and then you can automate it. So I agree. You just kind of become all these other things, but it's fun. I love it. And that's why I did it.
So I want to dig more into the posture caring at iDrop Shop, because as UA-based providers, if you go onto the iDrop Shop's website, you may be looking at these products and think, oh my gosh, I don't know any of these artificial tears or rewetting drops. So these were all very new to me, and I'd love to get your input on why you chose them and what makes them unique and special.
So we decide based on the products that we really recommend in our dry eye practice every day. So we did a lot of research, and then we carry a lot of the products that we found to be successful when we treated our patients. One of them is called Thiolaz Duo. And we really like this one because it has a component called triolose in it, which is actually a naturally occurring molecule, and it really protects the corneal epithelial cells. So it's extremely effective for treating dry eyes. Other ones that we have, we try and get creative for patients. Let's say if some can't put drops in their eyes, then we also have this spray called Calmo Spray. And it's really cool. People keep it next to their computers or, you know, just in their day-to-day, and you just spray it onto closed eyes. And then once you open your eyes, it'll spread onto the ocular surface. So we carry a lot of drops that we really looked into and found, okay, what can we target specifically different kinds of problems of dry eye, and which ones had the best effectiveness and reacted the quickest in our patients.
I need that spray drop for dilating kids. I think that'll be pretty awesome. You know, it'll be less hassle, less me falling on the ground from kids trying to tell me to drop, trying to put drops in. You know, I mean, I like that concept.
Oh my God, totally. I didn't even think of that, but I 100%. Let's get on it. Next business.
right. So these drops that you have, I mean, like Jen mentioned earlier, I'm not familiar with any of them. Are they comparable to what we have in the United States? I mean, you know, there's a new drop out, Sustain Complete, which has been out for about a year, year and a half roughly, and it's really killing the game, killing the market here. Just due to its nanotechnology and covering mixed mechanism dry eye. Do you have drops similar to that on the website as well?
Yeah, well, we actually do carry Sustain Complete because we have seen a lot of success with it. And it's actually the only drop that we contain that we carry that isn't preservative free, but because it's been so effective, we decided to put it on the website. Every single drop, I would say, is a powerhouse in its own right and will target different things in its own right. But they're all, you know, really high quality, really high performing drops. And each one will be for different reasons. So that's why we have a few different options on there. So I think definitely there's things that are comparable in the States. But some of them, like, let's say there's one called Hylo Dual, and it treats allergies and dry eyes at the same time. So I'm not aware of other ones that are similar to that, but I find like that one is cool because, you know, if it's an allergy season and they're not on their, you know, antihistamine drops, this is a good natural way of treating it. So I'm sure there must be a ton that are similar, but yeah, we do have Sustain Complete as well, but other ones that are also, you know, really great. We love all the drops we carry because we chose them for a purpose to be on there.
Dale, I've been doing some research, and the big difference why Dr. Corey has access to some really innovative artificial tears that we don't hear in the United States is the United States, the way the FDA works on over-the-counter products, you can put out a new ingredient to be approved for over-the-counter artificial tears, but that takes clinical testing and years of FDA approval. So instead, what people do is they use something that's already on the list of approved active ingredients. And guess what? That list hasn't been updated since the 1980s.
Wow.
So it's just such a big financial burden for these companies to come up with something in the United States that's completely new and innovative because they're stuck with using active ingredients that are on a 1980s list.
Yeah. And when you said financial, I mean, hey, that's, we know it's all about the money at the end of the day. So no one wants to spend excess money if they don't have to, if they can just use something that already works and they can just build off of.
Yeah, for an artificial tear, they're going to sell for $15, you know, on the shelf at Walmart. How many years would it take to make a return on that investment for these companies?
Right.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I agree. We see it here. And yeah, I mean, I was surprised that they weren't there yet. But I mean, I don't think it's never. I think that once the efficacy and studies are done more and more to prove, then I think, you know, it's only a matter of time. But in the meantime, I think there must be some that are similar.
I'm curious, who's your number one consumer? I mean, is it truly people just in Canada, or do you get a lot of folks from the States? Because I know here in the States, I do have some patients that come in and they're like, hey, Dr. Glover, I'm going to buy my contacts cheaper because I'm going to buy them from Canada. And I'm wondering if people are doing the same thing with artificial tears as well. Do you tend to get a lot of purchases from the United States?
Well, one thing we did, and I mean, it really is, it started with me. I'm an optometrist at my core. That's my profession, and I love what I do. So I didn't make them cheaper. I didn't undercut optometry clinics. I really always promote going to see your optometrist, getting diagnosed, getting your yearly checkups, like all over our Facebook, Instagram, everything. That's the message behind it. So it's not like we're one of these sites that, you know, it's cheaper, so people are going to not go to their optometrist to get it here. I find what's happening is it's more convenience-based that people are ordering. And so far, we've really targeted the Canadian market a little bit more, so all across Canada. But we don't want to be seen as that necessarily, because at our core, I really do want to support optometry. That the whole point, the whole reason this whole thing started was just to help out patients and get good products out there. So I'm not sure that's what's happening, but I wouldn't want it to be necessarily that.
One thing that Daryl and I are really big proponents of is ocular aesthetics when it comes to optometry. And I was thrilled to see that on your website you do have beauty products as well. Tell me a little bit about the beauty products that you're recommending for the ocular surface and how you found those products.
Yes, of course. So we chose a company called Zora Bioorganic because it's made up of really clean, natural ingredients. And we really did our research and we found that this was a company that had really amazing values and the way they manufacture everything. They actually took the ocular surface into consideration. I even met the president of the company, and she's a wonderful woman who bases her whole company on, you know, excellent, products that are clean and that are really, really natural and as, you know, safe as you could possibly make them in the cosmetic field. And I know there's so much research being done and I'm so interested in it because I really do understand and believe, and it's proven over and over again, that it's not only what goes in your eyes, but what goes on and around your eyes that will affect the ocular surface. Namely, there's a bunch of people doing research, but the dry eye divas are the ones that come to mind now. And I can't wait to see the research that comes up. But that's why we went with this particular company. And we chose a couple of products that were related to the eyes. You know, there's a mascara, an eyeliner, like an eye serum and an eye cream. And we really went with them based on their ethical, the way they make their products and their philosophy behind it and their ingredients, because that's another thing that's probably dated from like the 80s or before. It are the ingredients that are allowed to go into cosmetics in the United States and a little bit less in Canada. There's more ingredients that are forbidden in Canada. But I mean, it's really archaic when you look at the stuff that's allowed to go into cosmetics. So I think it's a wonderful initiative that all this research is being done, because it really doesn't impact the eye, which is what we're trying to save ultimately.
I'm very happy that you actually are telling your patients that there is a product out there that you can use. As a man, and a man that does not wear makeup, I don't know what to recommend to my patients. And, you know, I'm giving them all this education about false lashes and how to clean them and, you know, dry eyes and ocular surface disease and all this other stuff. But it would be nice to have a playbook where I can look at this makeup works, and this does not. But it's just nothing out there. I know Jen has a website that she references, but I really want something that is just, you know, solid information, solid data that I can really push, because I keep getting conflicting information from, you know, all the dry eye experts that I speak to.
Yes, you're right. I mean, you're totally right, but I think it's coming. I think that's what all this research is trying to get at, and I'm sure they will get to it, is to have a really clear consensus on these are the products that should be on, these should be off. But there's already been like a ton of research done on the subject, and I think it's only going to get better and better. But I agree. I think everybody wants this, and that's why it's such a buzz topic, because we want to know, you know, what can we do and what shouldn't we do. But there are lists that allow us to know at least, you know, ones that we should definitely not go near. So we made sure those products aren't in the makeup we sell currently. And then I think as studies come out, then we're just going to improve and move even better and better.
I mean, Darla, it is really complicated. As much as I've wanted to have like, oh, this product's safe, this product's a no, comes down to the preservatives, right? And we know some of the worst preservatives, sulfates, parabens, BAK, phenoxyethanol, but all products that are sold over the counter for makeup have preservatives in them. If they didn't have preservatives in them, they would be a bacteria risk, which would be awful for the eye as well. And we just don't know which person's going to react to what preservative. So that's why it gets so complicated. And, you know, we've got our work cut out for us with educating patients about that. Do you have any advice? Because I personally, in my office, I've always really struggled with retailing products. So you're doing so well on your website. Do you have suggestions for doctors that retail products in their own office or e-commerce on their websites on how to make that more successful?
Of course. So, I mean, I think the main reason that we're able to translate and you know, recommend our products so confidently is really to get to know your products, know them inside out, pick them, and know why you're prescribing them. To me, as an optometrist, I mean, patient education is all day, every day. I love doing it because I find that when the patient has their knowledge and is more empowered, then they're more empowered to follow their treatment plan, not go get a random drop from the pharmacy, listen to your prescription and know, I chose this drop for you and because you have this type of dry eye. So really my recommendation is to know your products, know why you're prescribing them, educate your patients and empower them to take care of their own health and be in control of their own eyes so that when you see them again, they know why they're taking that drop. They're not just aimlessly doing it. And I think that's probably the best way to get started and to be confident in prescribing drops. I mean, we don't sample drops in our clinic because it shouldn't be a sample, in my opinion, right? It's just, we're doing this for a reason. You know, I don't want you to try it. It's treatment. So that's our philosophy. And that's our philosophy online as well.
I like that. We don't sample them. I might have to start using that one.
I was going to say, I love it. I feel so stupid. I've been sampling for 8 years. No.
Don't feel anything. I'm just saying, you know, like it was like a decision we took because that way it's more of a, you know, I don't give them like the bottle of Vigamox and like, okay, see if your thing goes away, right? Like it's just more, it's more serious. They take me, I guess they take the process more seriously. I would hope.
Well, I used to be the king of samples. If the people didn't come to my office as far as the reps and they didn't bring me any samples, I wouldn't use their product at all. But now I got to the point where, you know, I see so many patients and, you know, I have my own way of doing things, getting a little lazy to get up and go find some. If I don't have them in the drawers, I just have the patients take a picture of it online and keep it moving. But I do love to have my samples and my coupons. I'm not going to lie about that, but I understand what you're saying. And I actually really like that concept. It really pushes home that they need to take this stuff more seriously.
Yeah. And that's what'll help, you know, to get your retail products in a way that the patient will follow your treatment, you know, to follow the exact drop that you prescribe. I think that's the game changer, to prescribe the drop almost, you know, literally, like I write it on a prescription pad, even though it's not prescription, but you know, you prescribe a treatment for them. They follow the treatment, they come back, they see results, they're happy, they know why they did it. And I think that's the fun part.
And a concept that I love of what you have going on, when you actually prescribe this artificial tear for them, you can set them up on like a subscription service where every month they can get it and they don't even have to worry about it anymore. Cause you can set that up with the e-commerce platform, which is phenomenal. And you always keep them held to the practice, but you're always bringing that income in every single month as well.
Mm-hmm. Totally, for sure. That's coming up.
Awesome.
Well, Dr. Corey, thank you so much for your insights. I think we can all take away from this podcast that we are doing a lot when it comes to dry eye that we could be doing a lot better. So if anyone is listening to this and wants to follow along with you on your social media or look at the website and get some ideas for themselves on how to present these products, how can they find more information?
Oh, for sure. So on Instagram, our handle is at eyedropshop. So it's really easy to find. And you could always write to info@eyedropshop.ca. The website is eyedropshops.ca. So basically like type it in and you'll find me, or you could just email me directly. I'm super open. I love chatting with optometrists and, you know, talking on the phone, emailing, and it would really be my pleasure to talk to anyone about what I'm doing or if they're interested in any kind of questions. It's it's like my favorite thing. So please, no one be shy. And I want to thank you guys. Honestly, thank you so much. It's been so much fun. I think what you guys are doing with this podcast is amazing. I listen and I always learn something new from, you know, every podcast I listen to. And I really think you guys deserve a round of applause for what you've set up here, because it's a really great hub for optometrists to learn more things from each other in a fun way. So thank you so, so much, honestly, for having me. It's been so much fun.
Aw, I'm blessing over here, Jen. I don't know about you, but you just made my heart just jump with joy.
I'm serious.
Thank you so much for your kind words. We greatly appreciate it. I mean, Jen and I, we love doing this podcast. We love just getting on this microphone and being able to run our mouth as long as we want to and helping people out in the world of optometry as well. So we greatly appreciate those kind words. Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast and remember, we keep it 2020 around here. Pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.